The A's have an opening day starter, and you might not be excited right now, but I'm going to try and get you a little bit excited about Kyle Muller in the first segment today. And then the A's made a signing of a veteran reliever. We're going to tell you how he fits in the bullpen. And then finally, Nick Allen is going to be in a platoon at shortstop. Fans are in an uproar, and I'm going to tell you at least the A's reasoning behind the move. I might not get you to like the move, but I'm going to tell you the reasoning why today. I'm Locked On A's.
You are Locked On A's, your daily Oakland A's podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's time for Locked On A's. Stepping to the mic, it's your host, Jason Burke.
How's it going, A's fans? And welcome to episode 547 of the Locked On A's podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I am your host, noted baseball fan Jason Burke. And on today's show, we're talking about Kyle Muller. We're talking about Yuri's Familia. We're talking about Nick Allen and Aledmys Diaz and Tony Kemp. So we got a big show coming up for you guys. It is also opening week. I am very excited about some real live baseball that counts. Coming to my TV screen, and also I'm going to be at these games before too long. I'm going to be at credentialed at opening day. I'm going to be at Shintaro Fujinami's first major league start. I can't wait. And then I'm going to go to one of the Guardians games too. It's Monday or Tuesday. I don't know which one yet. So there's going to be a lot of credentialed access, some credentialed insight coming your way from Locked On A's here before too long. So make sure to subscribe to the show wherever you like to hear it. But if you're on YouTube and you're watching this for the first time, you're going to get a good look at some A's stuff on a daily basis. So make sure to mash that subscribe button. We're also on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm a by Jason B on Twitter. Check out Inside the A's for more A's news, insight, and analysis coming your way whenever A's news happens. It's at Inside the A's. Or if you want the URL, si.com/MLB/athletics. I wrote up a storm this weekend. So there's everything that you want to know about the A's, it's up over there. So check all of that out too. But if you like the audio stuff, you like seeing this face, you like seeing this haircut, this is the place to go. But also, before we get into anything on today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Baseball GM. Ever dreamed of becoming an MLB GM and managing your baseball franchise? Then this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimatebaseballgm.com or look it up in the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code LOCKEDON, all caps, in the game, and you want that promo code. Download the game, use that promo code, because it will help you so much. I still got fired after I used it, but I was spending money so freely, and now I am so close to finishing up my franchise. We are in a competition with all the other hosts, and I think there's only been one entry so far, so by default, I might get second place if I can finish, if I can spend not enough money to get fired. We'll see. I keep making the playoffs, though, so it's going well. But we'll talk about more about Ultimate Baseball GM a little bit later. But for right now, let's talk about Kyle Muller getting the opening day nod. Obviously, he was one of the players acquired in the Sean Murphy deal. He wasn't like the main piece, but he was a solid piece. I'd say he was a number two piece behind Estuary Ruiz. I can't say it right. I'm sorry. Estuary Ruiz is how I liked it, but it's Estuary is how they keep saying it on the broadcast, and that doesn't feel right either. So, whatever. Anyways, Kyle Muller, so far this spring, he had a good first outing. Since then, it's been a little bit more rocky. His last outing wasn't great, but overall, he has gone 18 innings pitched, given up 30 hits, which is a lot. He's given up 13 earned runs, 3 home runs, 2 of those were in his last outing, 4 walks, 15 strikeouts. He has a 6.50 ERA. That is our opening day starter. Those are the stats that you look at and you're like, ugh, that's not great. That's our best guy. We're going to get you excited. I'm giving you the down stuff first. I'm going to get you excited here in a second. His last start, which was against the White Sox, and the White Sox, if memory serves, this is granted from 2020, they mash lefties. So, sure, did he have a bad start against a good lefty hitting team? Yeah, it wasn't good. He went 3 2/3 innings, gave up 10 hits, 8 runs. Only 4 of those were earned, though, because that ERA would be so much higher. Only 4 earned runs. I believe yesterday's error that led to an unearned run. He gave up 2 home runs. He gave up 1 walk, struck out 5. So not a great stat line to finish the spring. But the one thing that I will say that I am looking at as an optimistic point, and what got me kind of changing my mind a little bit about this decision, is that he has not allowed multiple walks in any of his appearances this spring. He's thrown 18 innings. That's a bunch of... He's had a 3 inning outing. He's had the 5. He's had some innings out there, and he has not allowed multiple walks, which has been an issue for him in the big leagues. He's allowed between 5 and 6 walks per 9 in the big leagues. So getting his command, you know, under wraps a little bit. Granted, he only allowed like 2.7, 2.9 walks per 9 in AAA last season. So it's not like it's an always thing. And this is spring training. He's facing a lot more minor leaguers than he's going to face in the major leagues by roughly all of them. By definition, at least. But it's a good sign, I would say, that hopefully he's not going to be walking a bunch of guys in his go-around in the major leagues this time. Also, this is going to be his first opening day roster. Not opening day start. Obviously, it's his first opening day start. This is the first time he has made an opening day roster in the big leagues. That's something. He's not also going to be the A's opening day starter. His rookie status, still intact. So he's a rookie starting opening day for the A's. I believe the last rookie that started opening day for the A's was Sonny Gray. So there's something for you. Get excited. Also, they released the names of the only other rookies that have started for the A's. And like 3 of the 4 were really good. Vita Blue, I think, was one of them. Sonny Gray, and then I forget the other 2. One of them wasn't great. But the other ones were solid. There were guys that you're like, yeah. So maybe he's in good company? Maybe? I don't know. It did feel, when the announcement happened, that it just felt like he was the guy that was on turn. And I didn't mention him as an option because I was like, yeah, he's a rookie. They just got him. They wouldn't do that. That's weird. But they did. So here we are. It also felt like, you know, with Blackburn being on the IL, he was kind of the obvious candidate other than Shintaro Fujinami, but he wasn't on turn because they want to throw him once a week. He's going to be pitching on Saturdays, if you haven't heard. He's going to be pitching on Saturdays. Not just this Saturday, Saturdays. All of them. At least to start off the season. They're going to keep him on once a week, so 6 days rest. But once, you know, those 2 options were gone, it was like, hey, who's on turn? It doesn't really matter who starts opening day anymore. And so, not to belittle Kyle Muller at all, it sounds like I am, but that's kind of what it boiled down to, is what it felt like, is, hey, you know, that we're facing Shohei Ohtani. Let's throw somebody to the wolves, and why not have it be Kyle Muller? Which seems mean, but I'm optimistic about what he's going to do on opening day. And that there is one reason here, and that is because the Angels were, and maybe this is the A's reasoning all along, is the Angels were really bad against left-handed pitching last year. They were one of the worst teams in baseball. They were worse than the 2022 Oakland Athletics, a 102-loss team. They were worse than them, us, I guess, against lefties. So that's something. Kyle Muller throws with his left hand. There you go. They hit, what was it? They had a .289 on base percentage. That's bad. The A's had a lot of guys with .289 on bases last year, and they were still better than the Angels against lefties. Let that sink in. They also had an 85 cumulative WRC plus, which is 15% below league average against lefties. So they were not good. They've made some upgrades. They have Hunter Renfro now. They have Gio Urshela now. They've got some upgrades, but are they going to be like a league average team maybe against lefties? We'll see. But I'm just saying, there's some room here for him to actually have an okay outing. 6 innings and like 2-3 runs, that's a good start for him against anybody. But against the Angels on opening day, on his first opening day, I'll take that. I will take that from Kyle Muller. And is it going to be enough to get the win against Shohei Ohtani? Ohtani's going to maybe no-hit the A's at some point. So maybe not. He did not allow that many hits in his last two starts of the season, and they were both against the A's on back-to-back starts. He was really good against the A's. So is there a lot of wiggle room? I don't know. But what I want to see on opening day is a good start from Kyle Muller. Are the A's going to win? I'm not sure. Right now, facing Shohei Ohtani, after seeing what he did in the WBC, I'm not betting on it. But maybe. Here's my early take for opening day. It's Monday. It's Monday morning. I'm very excited. Shohei Ohtani just threw in the bullpen in the WBC to close it out. Is he built up to go deep enough into this game, or do we get to face that juicy, juicy Los Angeles Angels bullpen? I do remember getting some wins against the Angels bullpen in previous seasons, and I would love to see that again. Also, is he, like, fully familiarized with the pitch clock? Is he going to have some violations? He's been pitching in the WBC. His team went deep. He hasn't had a lot of time with the pitch clock. He's a very good pitcher. He's a very good player. I'm not expecting it, but I'm just saying, hey, maybe. Hey, maybe. That's all I want to say. Hey, maybe. Also, if the A's were going for a lefty to face the Angels, Muller was really the only guy that was definitely going to be in the rotation as of a couple of weeks ago, so they can kind of work his schedule and get him on turn. Some injuries have opened up the door a little bit. Obviously, we got Paul Blackburn started the season on the IL. It was just announced, I believe it was yesterday, that Drew Rosinski is also going to be opening the season on the IL. So there's a couple of roster spots right there that are now open, and that could open the door for, or it has opened the door for Ken Waldichuk, maybe also for J.P. Sears. So the A's may have three lefties now, but Muller might have been the only guy that was going to be in the rotation to begin with. And if they wanted to throw a lefty on opening day, he's the guy. So they just got him on turn, and there he is. So I think that's kind of where we are. Again, Fuji's going to be starting on Saturdays, and I'm very excited about that. But we're going to talk about the signing of Yuri's Familia and where he fits in the A's bullpen coming up. So stay locked in, you guys. Today's episode is brought to you by Ultimate Baseball GM, and this is one of the coolest games that I've played in a long time. I always thought that I could be a great Major League GM, and as it turns out, it is not that easy. I play one on this podcast, but in this game, in actual reality, I'm kind of bad, honestly. If you've had the same thought and you have fantasized about managing your own franchise, go and download Pro Baseball GM immediately, because it is... it's time-consuming, but it is fun. You can play it if you have, I don't know, a 15-month-old kid, and they're sitting on your lap and they want to watch TV. You can play this game while doing that. So it's something for you to do while watching a child on your lap while they hog the TV. The game also allows you to manage every strategic aspect of a franchise, playing through seasons and leading your franchise and fans to glory as you build a historic dynasty. I haven't gotten to that part of the game yet. My minor league team has won a few championships. My major league team has made the playoffs a couple of times. So we're doing great. I think I'm still below 500 over the course of like 22 seasons, but I'm doing okay. But you got to hire the right staff. Get some four-star coaches. That's my thing. And also make sure that they all do the same thing. Like if you got one that's a structured head coach, you want to get a guy that's a structured base running coach. That things like that make a world of difference. And this is a challenging and realistic game, you guys. Ultimate Baseball GM is completely free and playable offline, so you can play on the go or, you know, while your kid is watching TV. And you can do what you want when you want to. It's a lot of fun. But we do have a competition with all of the hosts. And I believe only our Locked On Guardians host has completed his franchise, his 25 seasons. And he had a 520 winning percentage. He won a couple of championships. I'm behind him there. But I think it's on wins. And so I need to get more wins. And we're doing okay. I've had some 100 win seasons of late. I missed the playoffs after winning 101 games, and that infuriated me. But this game is so much fun. Regardless of how mad it makes you because you won 101 games, it's still a boatload of fun. And a season takes like an hour or two. It's not very hard. You just keep hitting simulate and then guys get injured and you replace them. It's not that bad. So Locked On A's listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On. That is all in caps, Locked On, in the game store. So make sure to check it out. To download the game, just visit probaseballgm.com. Scan the code right over there. Right over there. Or you can look it up in the app stores. That's probaseballgm.com. It's a lot of fun. Ultimate Baseball GM, you guys. Start your dynasty today. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe wherever you like to hear podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm the By Jason B on Twitter. Check out Inside the A's for more A's news, insight, and analysis coming your way whenever A's news happens. It's at Inside the A's or si.com/MLB/athletics. The site's doing really well right now. I think people are excited about A's baseball coming back. Also, I've written a lot, so it could be that. But it's been a lot of fun. And if you missed the intro to this podcast for some reason, or the last episode, I am now a credentialed member of the media through Inside the A's, an affiliate of Sports Illustrated. So thank you to everybody involved with that. That's great. I am very excited about all of the opportunities that are now in front of me. I get to go talk to a bunch. I'm going to go talk to Kevin Smith, and he's going to be so bored talking to me because I'm going to be like, hey, Kevin, you want to talk today? Because I'm enthralled by you, and I said that you would make the team in January, and here we are. You're looking like a sure thing. The A's will probably announce the final rosters either after the game on Monday or early on Tuesday is my guess, maybe on Wednesday. They're going to announce rosters at some point. We will go over those rosters a little bit later. And also, I said that we would do bold predictions. So much stuff happened this weekend, so we're covering all of that stuff. But we'll do bold predictions. Hey, maybe on Thursday. Maybe for opening day, we'll do bold predictions. How about that? I've already got them written up over at Inside the A's, so go check that out. But let's talk about the A's signing Yuri's Familia, bringing back a Familia face. Boom! Subscribe to the podcast. But per the team, it is a one-year deal. It is a major league deal, according to... It wasn't a minor league deal. It's just a one-year deal. With the Oakland A's, he was cut by the Arizona Diamondbacks on Friday, and then he signed with the A's on Saturday. So, good times. Bit of a history lesson. He was traded to the A's at the trade deadline in 2018, and in that season, he pitched pretty well for the A's. He had a 3.45 ERA in 31 and a third innings pitched. He struck out 40, walked 14, so his whip was a little bit high, but his strikeout rate was nice. Since then, he's had some up and down seasons. He hasn't been consistent and not necessarily good, which is why he didn't make the Diamondbacks. But he's on the A's, so he's great. I'm very excited. He hasn't been good the last four seasons. He has a cumulative 4.96 ERA with the Mets, Phillies, and Red Sox. Last year, there we go, that's the one. Last year, he was in the third percentile in hard hit percentage. That is not great. He was also in the fourth percentile of average exit velocity, also not great. He also, that average exit velocity happened to be 90.8. It's hard. It's really hard. The league average was 87.1, so it is 3.7 miles per hour harder than league average. So what are we expecting from this deal? We'll see. But this spring, he'd been doing okay. Maybe he figured something out. Also, he pitched a scoreless inning against the A's back on March 7th, I believe. Struck out two. So they got to see him up close, and maybe they were like, hey, that guy's good. Maybe if he becomes available, we'd like Yuri's Familia back in the green and gold. But he allowed one run in 6 2/3 innings pitched with the Arizona Diamondbacks this spring. The one run came on a solo home run to Mickey Moniak. So that's a little bit of stuff for you. He has 125 career saves. So you look at that, you're like, late inning option, right? Late inning option. Also, we'll get into it, but he's going to be for the A's. Whether or not that's a good idea, we might discuss that later this week. I need to do some digging, and I'm probably going to have to write that up before I talk to you guys about it, just because I research, and while I research, I write, and then after I write, I record. That's my process. Behind the curtain. But he has 125 career saves, only one since 2018, and he's had 15 opportunities. So he's 1-for-15 in save opportunities the last 4 years. It's not great. So they did say, Mark Kotze did tell reporters that he would be in the mix for saves this season, along with Danny Jimenez and Trevor May. 1-for-15, though, so are you feeling confident about it? I think that he's a good late-inning option. Could he be like a seventh-inning guy? Sure, I think that would be great. Do I want him in the ninth? I mean, I want to see it before I believe it, but I also don't want to see it to believe it. So that's where I'm at right now with Yuri's Familia. But hey, maybe if he's having a good start to the season, maybe you throw him. Maybe the A's have rattled off 10 consecutive wins, and Trevor May and Danny Jimenez have just been pitching every single day for 10 days. And then you're like, hey, Yuri's Familia, how about we keep this win streak going? Sure, yeah, that's a great time to try it. That's a great time to try it. Also, he's on a one-year deal, and along with Trevor May, who's also on a one-year deal, they could be good veteran trade fodder at the deadline. Let's not beat around the bush. That could happen. And so maybe you want to get those guys, you know, a dozen saves each, and see what happens at the trade deadline. If they could rebuild Yuri's Familia and his trade value, maybe they can get something for him. So there's a thought there. He gave up one earned run against the Giants on Sunday. He went one inning, pitched, gave up two hits, struck out two. So, hey, we'll see. Maybe he's a different guy this season. He's still in the league, so there's something there, even though he was in the third and fourth percentile and giving up some hard contact. So we'll see what happens there. But coming up on the show, we're going to talk about Nick Allen being in a platoon at shortstop. Fans are not happy. I'm going to try and tell you why they're doing it, though. So stay locked in, you guys. Today's episode is also brought to you by Built Bar. The Built March Madness bracket is here, and we know that you have a favorite bar or puff, and now is your time to make it count. Go to BuiltMarchMadness.com to vote for your favorites. You know that I'm going to be voting for really anything puff-related is what I'm feeling right now. Do they have a bubblegum puff? I haven't looked, but bubblegum puff. I'm going to do a write-in ballot. Bubblegum puff, because it sounds really good right now, honestly. I love all of their puffs. And if you want your made-up flavor to win as well, all you got to do is vote for that bar. Support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite bar or puff, made up or not, I guess, you will be entered into a drawing where 50 lucky Locked On listeners win a free box of Built. Not only that, but one Locked On fan will get a 12-month subscription to Built to have Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door. You gotta try Built because it is the best protein bar ever. Seriously, they're amazing. You're not gonna know that they're good for you guys. They're legitimately good for you guys. They're just packed with protein. They're covered in 100% chocolate, and they are low in sugar. Really, there's nothing that you can do wrong with eating a Built bar. So run to BuiltMarchMadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March. So hop in and support your pick. Welcome back to the Locked On A's podcast. If you guys are enjoying the show, make sure to subscribe wherever you like to hear podcasts. Follow us on social media at Locked On A's on Twitter and Instagram. I'm by Jason B on Twitter. Check out Inside the A's for more A's news, insight, and analysis coming your way whenever A's news happens. It's at Inside the A's. Sorry, I paused because it said that my computer was overloaded and that the video was going to be bad. So I stopped and then it went away and here we are. Anyways, let's talk a little bit about Nick Allen. But actually, before we do that, Kirby Snead is also going to be on the start season on the IL. He was transferred to the 60-day IL to make room for Yuri's Familia. Forgot to mention that it was on the paper once I flipped it over. So that's my bad. But that's how the A's fit Yuri's Familia onto their roster is they just put Kirby Snead on the 60-day IL. So hopefully we'll get an update on Kirby Snead before too long, but, you know, hopefully he's good or, you know, back before too long because he was an early breakout pick for me. I think in October I was like, watch out for Kirby Snead in 2023 because his stuff moves. And I thought that, you know, after a year with the A's in their organization with their coaching staff, I thought that he could have a nice breakout season for Oakland. But we might have to wait a couple of months for that to happen. But let's talk about Nick Allen and his breakout season potentially being on hold because he's going to be in a platoon. But with platoons, you do it so the people look better when they're on the field. So that's kind of where we're going here. I got a graphic. I will post it at some point here that for right here on the YouTube screen, so you can follow these numbers a little bit easier. But here are the numbers and why I think the platoon makes sense. Okay, it's basic. What did they do last year? Let's see if we can get the best versions of these guys on the field and hopefully get some more wins in the bank. Also, the A's want to try and stay out of the draft lottery again, because once you're in there for two seasons, then you can't. The highest that you could, or the best pick that you could have if you get a lottery pick 2 years in a row, is number 7. So they want to not try and do that immediately. They got the 6th pick right now, which they were the 2nd worst team in baseball. They want to try and not be in the lottery too often, is my guess right now. You could also just say, hey, they're going to be better next year. Maybe they do. But hey, the A's don't, there's no quit in A's, or A's and quit. What, it works both ways. But let's talk about Nick Allen. Let's just get to it. But yeah. Okay. So Nick Allen against lefties, he was very, very good, which is why he would be platooning at shortstop against lefties. He hit .276 with a .315 on base. Good numbers. That is good for a 122 WRC plus. That is 22% above league average. You want that version of Nick Allen on the field. Nick Allen against righties? Not necessarily, because he hit .179 with a .232 on base. That's really low. But again, the A's were better against lefties with guys like this in the lineup. A .232 on base, better than the Angels against lefties. Granted, this is against righties. I don't care. Beside the point. I'm making a fun point. That was good for a 36 WRC plus. That is 64% below league average. So basically putting anybody in against righties, it should be an upgrade, right? Aledmys Diaz against righties hit .233 with a .268 on base and 85 WRC plus. That is what he did last season. But for his career, he has actually done very well against right-handers with a .275 batting average, .322 on base, and a .109 WRC plus. That's 9% above league average. So that is why he would be there against righties, as opposed, I mean, even if he put in the season that he did last year, that is still 50%, yeah, 49% better than the A's got against righties at shortstop last season. But they could actually wind up with an above league average player at shortstop. Granted, his defense is roughly league average as well at shortstop, so you're missing that component. But offensively, it could be a big upgrade for the A's at shortstop if Nick Allen, you know, obviously, he'll get some time against righties at some point, just not to start the season. I think that's where we're at right now, is you bring in these veterans to, you know, get some work in. You want Aledmys Diaz to play. Well, they want Aledmys Diaz to play every day, which means he's got to play somewhere else as well. And I think that could be second base, where he could also be in a platoon with Tony Kemp. Because Tony Kemp against lefties wasn't as good, but Aledmys Diaz was pretty solid against lefties last year. Diaz against lefties last season, .267 with a .333 on base, a .121 WRC plus. That's 21% above league average against lefties. Whereas Tony Kemp hit .219 with a .310 on base and an .82 WRC plus. That's 18% below league average. It is a 39% swing if you platoon those guys against lefties. You just put them over. So the up-the-middle combo against lefties would be Diaz, who had a .121 WRC+, and Nick Allen, who had a .122 WRC+. Up the middle against lefties, this team can rake. Also, Kevin Smith was also roughly 20% above league average. If he makes the team, and he's in a platoon situation, kind of, with Jace Peterson at third base, he's also going to be raking against lefties. Christian Pache, also better against lefties. This team might be able to hit really well against left-handed pitching. We'll see. But I'm very intrigued as to what's going on here with the A's and their platoons. And then against righties, you got Tony Kemp, who hit .238 with a .307 on base and a .93 WRC+. Still 7% below league average, but he had a really rough first half. He came on very well in the second half. Also, against righties, He walked 7.8% of the time. Not bad. Not bad at all. And he only struck out 10.6% of the time. That is fantastic. That's really, really good. So against righties, he was very solid. He struck out almost double that against lefties. And even though his on-base was roughly the same and his batting average was 20% or 20 points lower, he was still a much better hitter against righties. And so that's why you might see him in more of a platoon role with Aledmys Diaz, who can hit lefties and righties. So I think that's kind of the reasoning here. And real quick, here's the numbers so you can see. I'm a visual guy too. So there's the numbers for you. I just think that it's obviously not the best. You kind of want to see Nick Allen try and develop a little bit more. Tony Kemp is one of the most popular A's players that the A's have. And you want to see them in the lineup more often, but you can probably plan the games you want to go to according to which opposing pitcher is on the mound, because it makes sense. I think that offensively, and that's where the A's are trying to improve right now. They got some arms. They have arms. Are they going to be good arms? We're going to find out. But I think offensively, the A's saw an opportunity to get better, and now they're going to try and be better. So we'll see what happens there. I assume that Nick Allen will be the A's starting shortstop at some point this season, but just not to start the year. Also, Aledmys Diaz has dealt with a lot of injuries in his career, and that is kind of why he was available to the A's in the first place. So he might get hurt at some point, and then Nick Allen will just be the shortstop. So don't get too mad, you guys. The A's might win some extra games, have more production in their lineup. They have a solid, maybe 4 or 5 hitter as opposed to like an 8 hitter in the lineup. So that's what I think we're doing right here. We'll see what happens. But that's all that I got for you guys today. Tomorrow, we'll see what happens with tonight's game against the Giants. Maybe they announce their roster before I record. I don't know. So tomorrow's a little bit up in the air. Maybe we'll talk about the bullpen and the construction of that, the rotation and the construction of that. That's my fallback plan right now. But if the A's announce their roster, obviously we're going to go over that and see what the A's did right and what they did wrong. But that's all that I got for you guys today. So until next time, go out and celebrate good times, A's fans, and I will talk to you tomorrow.